the Lord. Say amen.
Amen.
And just a few statements. We do live in Jacksonville, right next to McClenny. That's where I grew up and got saved at my home church. My pastor, Brother Torin Dismuke, and got called to preach there. And he took me everywhere he went, and got saved at 15. And my family didn't go to church. And my youth pastor would pick me up on the church van every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, Saturday night prayer meeting. Every revival they went to, they took me to. Every youth camp they went to, they took me to. And so they instilled in me what old-fashioned church is supposed to be like. And what the power of God and the power of prayer can do for your life. And I'm not the youth pastor, but that's okay. And I was. And so when I went to Bible college and in South Carolina, and then I did Bible college through Andersonville Theology through home correspondence. And then when I went back to back home to Florida, and I was his youth pastor for a couple years and helped him start an ACE Christian school, which is still going. They got about 30 or 40 students now. And then in the middle of that, the Lord pushed me out into evangelism. And so I was on the road full-time preaching for a few years. And then I met my lovely bride, Brooklyn. And a church reached out to us in South Georgia. We pastored there for 3 years. And then unfortunately we had to make a decision to honor the Lord with what was going on, and some things were going on that were, I won't go into it, but it was illegal, and people could have went to jail for a long time, so we decided to exit that and did not want to be a part of that. Amen. And so we moved back to Florida. And just been healing, all right? Is that all right to say? We just been sitting underneath our pastor, preaching when the Lord opens the doors, and trusting the Lord with our life. And while I've been doing that, I work for the Dignity Funeral Homes. Y'all may know what that is. There's one about 20 minutes from here. And so I work for the Dignity Funeral Homes right now, as well as, you know, preaching when the doors open and helping my pastor, and helping families prearrange their funerals and helping them during the worst time in their life when they lose a loved one. And so that's kind of what we do now. Brooke, she gets to stay at home and take care of our lovely little boy, Abel. And we've heard every joke about naming the next one Cain. So I might just throw everybody off in the world and name the next boy Cain just to make everybody confused. I don't know yet. And so it is an honor to be here, a privilege, and I appreciate the hospitality, amen, and had a nice place for us to stay. There was a little gift basket in there with a lovely little note, and so we appreciate that very much. There was some fruit in the fridge. I ate the grapes, and I hope that was all right, amen. Hopefully they weren't old grapes, so we had a good time. We all slept good. And was able to relax, and thankful we made it here. Amen. And so let's take our Bible this morning to the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke. And Luke chapter number 15, which is a very familiar text. Luke chapter number 15. And I'll read three verses, starting in verse 17. And this is Sunday school, so I'm going to attempt to stay in Sunday school mode, all right? Luke chapter number 15, if you're there with me, just say amen. Amen. And verse number 17, the Bible says, "And when he came to himself," and I know we all know the story very well, "he said, 'How many servants of my fathers have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger. He said, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. Ain't that a good day? But when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Ain't that what he did for you one day? You took that first step towards him, and that's all you had to do. And he helped you take the rest of them, and he stepped towards you. Amen. Father, we love you. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace and your mercy. Thank you for your traveling grace and your traveling mercies. God, I pray during this Sunday school hour, you help us just to take this thought. Lord, help us to probably something we already all know. But I pray that, God, it would just give a fresh reminder and a fresh burden to us, God, for lost people. God, for people that need what we have. God, we have in us the greatest gift and the greatest light this world could ever ask for. And I pray that, God, when we get done for the Sunday school hour, you would give us a burden, Lord, that we would take that light and, God, let it shine brighter in the dark hour we live in than it ever has before. And, God, we'll give you glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. So I'm just going to talk to you a little bit or teach a little bit for the Sunday school hour on repentance and faith. The little word repentance, it means to turn away from sin. It means I'm involved in something I ought not to be, and when I repent, I turn away from it. I do not truly repent if I realize my sin and keep participating in my sin. All right? I can be sorrowful for my sin and not repent. I can be sorry that I messed up but not actually repent of my mess up. Is that all right? And so repent, it means to turn away. There's three elements of repentance that we can find in our text that we're going to talk about. Number one, if I'm going to repent, it has to affect the intellect of a man. It has to affect the intellect of a man. Verse 17, the Bible said this young man, it said he came to himself. We all know the story. He was out living his own life with no thought of God, with no thought of anything but himself. We've all been there. Amen. And that's exactly where he was. He was off wasting his life with riotous living. That's what the Bible says. He was off wasting his substance. He was off wasting his inheritance that he got. He was not honoring God with what God gave him. And so it has to affect the intellect. The Bible says when he came to himself, God finally allowed him to get as low as a man could get. And he finally looked at his life from a different perspective. And sometimes to change your path, all you need to do is take a step back and change your perspective of life. And so he took a step back, changed his perspective. The Bible says he came to himself. And watch this, the change of mind will lead to a change of heart. I have to first realize I messed up before I ever repent. If I don't truly believe that my problem is sin and affecting God and affecting my father, I'll never turn away from it. But when his mind said, I'm in a mess, it affected his heart. When he was able to realize that he had a sin issue, it affected his heart. He said, man, I really do got a problem. I really am messed up. I really am living in sin. And we could all bear witness to that. You probably, throughout your Christian life, have found things in your life on your daily walk that you didn't even realize was there, and God shined light on that darkness in you, and you say, you know what, Lord, I need to fix that. And when you became aware that you did have a sin issue, you were able to fix it because it changed your heart. But if you don't come to a place where you hate sin, you'll never turn away from sin. And so he came to himself and changed the mind, leads to change. A man will never repent till he looks at himself for who he really is. Amen. You would have never repented if you would have never looked at yourself as a sinner. You would have never called on the name of Jesus Christ if you never came to that place in your life where you said, I am a sinner. I am on my way to hell. I am ungodly. I am unjust. I am filthy. I am dirty. I am. And it led you to say, Lord, I need help. The intellect of a man has to be affected in order for a man to repent. His emotion, the emotion of a man. Verse 18, the Bible says, I will arise. That's what this young man said in verse 18. Conviction fell on him. He not only realized what he was, but now has come to hate what he did and what he was, a sinner. Amen. I'm going to turn to Psalm 51. Read a few verses there. David said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. Watch this part. For I acknowledge. That means it affected his intellect. He was able to acknowledge it. He said, for I acknowledge my transgressions. And he said, my sin is ever before me. Before David could ever call upon God for repentance, he acknowledged his transgression. And he said, my sin is ever before me. You probably have somebody in your life and you're like, why won't they just repent? Why won't they just give it to God? Because they haven't come to a place yet where they acknowledge that it's affecting God himself. They have not reached that point where they have acknowledged that they're what you can see it because you're looking through a different lens, that it's sin, that it's affecting them and it's affecting others and it's affecting God, it's affecting God's kingdom, they don't realize that. They have not yet acknowledged that their sin is set before them. Even though you may see it, they have to see it, right? Same thing when you call upon God to get saved. You can't call upon God on their behalf. They have to call upon God for themselves. Even though you know what they need to do, you can't force them to do it. He said, for I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Against thee. Against who? Against God. He said, not only am I sinning, but I'm affecting God. He said, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in my sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from the presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors the ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure in Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then thou shalt be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then thou shalt offer bullocks upon thine altar. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Verse 8 through 10. I've already touched on this a little bit. For thou I made you sorry with a letter. I do not repent. Though I did repent, for I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that you sorrowed to repentance. For you were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. So David, what did he do? He realized, acknowledged that his sin was ever before him, and he was able to call on God then. A man will not truly repent until he acknowledges his sin before him. Because until he hates it, he'll not give it up. I'm sure you've experienced that in your own life. God shined light on something, and you're like, "Well, that ain't a big deal. That ain't really a sin, right? That's just a personal conviction. God ain't too worried about that." But then he keep bothering you about it. Because here's the thing: if you love him, you'll hate what he hates. And if he shines light down on something and he reveals to you that he is not happy with it in your life, if you love him, you'll walk away from it. Don't the Bible says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments? So if he shines something down on you and you will not give it up, it's because you've not yet come to a place where you hate it. And there's no bashing, right? We all got it. We're all human still. We're not made incorruptible yet. We all got issues. We all got sin. We all got things that we battle with that maybe you don't tell each other in the church. Right? Because it ain't nobody's business. There's some things in you that God has revealed to you that he, watch this, the Bible says he's still working on me. And if he's revealed something to you, you just keep taking it to him. saying, Lord, I'm doing, it's right here. Amen. I'm doing my best. Give me the strength to overcome it, to repent of it, to turn away from it. Amen. Because we read in Corinthians, there's a difference between being sorry and being sorrowful. Right? You can say you're sorry, but not really be sorry. Just to get past something. Just to get somebody off your back. Just to get, well, just to make yourself feel better. So you can be sorry, but not be sorrowful. You can be upset you got caught, but not really be repentant. And I don't know anything in your life. I'm just trying to teach you something that I think is good teaching. But I know a lot of people that never really repented until they got caught. And then they become sorry. Right? And they do good, like the Bible says, it's good for what? A season. Ain't that right? That's what Corinthians just said. So there's people that get caught in their sin, and they would have never been sorry if they would have never got caught. And then they get caught, and they say they're sorry, and they improve for a season. But eventually that season runs out because they never actually repented. They were sorry they got caught, not sorry that they sinned against God. You can get sorry that you got caught, but not sorry that you destroyed your family. You're upset. You can get upset because you get caught in your sin, but you're not really upset that it affected God and affected everybody around you. You're just upset because you got embarrassed because you got caught. And it lasts for a season. And then you sit back and you watch. And after that season's over, that individual that was sorry goes right back to what he was sorry for. It's because that individual never actually repented, right? Yeah, he got caught, but he never turned away. So there's a difference between you catching me in something and I'm saying I'm sorry, because if I would have never got caught, I would have never apologized. So really, I'm not actually sorrowful. I'm just sorry that I got caught now, embarrassed, so I'm just going to tell everybody I'm sorry just to move on past it. And they say, oh, well, brother, he repented. Right? He repented. He's okay now. He's right with God. No, I just said sorry to get right with people, not actually to get right with my Father. But when I repent, when I'm walking in sin and living in sin, and I actually get to a place where I don't get caught doing it, right? But I come to a place where I acknowledge maybe it's just a small sin. And sin is sin. It ain't small or big. But maybe it's something that is not on the outside. Maybe it's something on the inside. And God helps me to acknowledge that without having to get embarrassed in front of my peers. Right? But if you don't repent, He will embarrass you. Without having to go through all that, and He shows me, and I say, God, I've acknowledged it. Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, forgive me. I hate that I have hurt you. David did not, in the psalm, David didn't get up there and say, Lord, I'm sorry I hurt everybody around me. No, he said, I've sinned against you. When the young man finally came to himself in the text, he didn't say, Lord, I'm sorry. He didn't say, Father, I've sinned against the man who gave me a job to go clean up all the mess. He didn't say, I'm sorry that I affected my brother, that I affected my mother, I affected my friends. No, he said, Father, I've sinned against you. And when something is shined on me and I acknowledge that I've sinned against not you, not people around me, but I acknowledge who I truly sinned against, who is Christ. And I say, Lord, I hate it. I hate that I've hurt you. I hate that I have put a bad name on the cause of Christ because of my actions or because of what's in my heart. Because eventually, if you don't fix what's in your heart, it's going to come out. What's in your heart will eventually proceed out of your mouth. Right? So just because it's in your heart and you can keep it from people around you, that will only last for so long before you put it on the back burner and we don't operate in that when God shows it to us, asking Him to forgive us and overcoming it, eventually it's going to come out. And people will see what's in your heart. Right? And so when I become to hate it, when I come to hate sin, when I come to hate what is bringing something between me and my Father, right? I can't lose my salvation. Everybody on board with that? All right, so I'm in the right church. All right. But I can cause there to be separation. And if I want to fix that separation, whatever God reveals to me that's causing that separation, I have to come to hate it. Because I need to come to a place where I hate anything in my life that is causing something between me and my Father. And when I come to that place and I hate it and I acknowledge it, then I have the power to turn away from it. Right? And that's called repentance. So repentance is not having something out in front of me and getting caught and saying I'm sorry, but I keep walking the same path. That's not repenting. Repenting is it's been revealed to me. However God reveals it to you, you may get caught. But instead of keeping the same path, I'm turning away from that path. And I'm walking down a new path. Old things, right? Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. Everybody all right with that? So the emotion of a man, the will of a man, verse 20. His will was then acted upon. He arose and he came to his father. To turn back from his sin, to forsake his sin. And we've already touched on some of this, but I'll give you this thing. So it's not just good enough for a man to acknowledge his sin. It's not just good enough for me to know up here, right? Knowledge of my sin does not save me. Knowledge of my failures and the thing that's causing separation between me and God, just because I know, that ain't going to save me. That ain't going to help me. That's not going to help me in the end destination of where I'm trying to get. That is the beginning stages, right? It's to acknowledge it. But that ain't the last of it. Part of it is repenting and turning away from that sin. But just because I stop living in sin, that does not fix my problem. Right? So it's not just good enough for me to have the knowledge. It's not just good enough for me to have a good life and to not live in that sin anymore. It ain't just good enough for me to know about it and to turn away from it, to know it hurts God, to turn away from it because I don't want to hurt God. But then it's because that will of a man, right? What has God given everybody born of a woman? A free will. He is not going to make you approach Him. Christ is not going to force you right now to bow your knee. One day you will. whether it's here or there. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. But God is not a God who's going to force you to love Him, who's going to force you to serve Him, who's going to force you to come to Him. He's waiting with His arms open wide. Ain't that how He died on the cross? His arms are still open wide for mankind to come to Him. And He is not forcing. He didn't force His, in the text, the Father did not force that Son to come to Him, did He? No, He came to Himself. He acknowledged. Then He made the decision. He made the choice. I'm going back to my Father. I'm going to go find Him. Same thing. It's not just good enough for us to acknowledge it. Not just good enough for us to walk down a moral path. But I have to make a decision and a choice. I'm going to approach the Father. I'm going to go to Him. Let Him know I've sinned against Him. And ask Him to forgive me. And you know what He's going to do? Forgive you. He's going to do the same thing for you that He did for us, that this Father did for His Son. He's going to take off your old garments, give you some new ones. Those new ones are going to make it as if you never even messed up to begin with. Amen. All the angels of heaven are going to sing. Amen. That a sinner has come home. All of heaven will rejoice when you get that new coat put on you. Amen. But that will not happen. Will not happen if you do not choose to approach Him. And not you, you're in Sunday school, right? Anybody that shows up to a 10 o'clock Sunday school service is probably saved and right with God. Most likely. Unless if you're bringing your children and your children don't want to be here. Maybe they need to still get saved. But there's no children besides Abel back there right now. So. But people in our life, right? We can have that perspective on them. And know how to better pray for them. Right? First we need to pray. Whoever that individual is in your life that needs to get saved. Not only do we need to pray, Lord, save them. But let's pray this way. Lord, go to them. Let them acknowledge what they're doing. Right? God, I need you to save them. But God, I know if you don't let them know, they're never going to get saved. God, go to where they are and let them finally acknowledge how awful sin is. Let them finally acknowledge how awful what they are participating in is. Let them know that their life without Christ and living in sin, there is a hell for them. Because until they acknowledge that and come to the understanding that that's true, they're never going to turn away. Lord, let them acknowledge it. Lord, don't only let them acknowledge it, but God, please, when they finally acknowledge it, let them turn away from their sin. Let them repent of it. Let them turn away from it. Let them walk a different path. And God, when they start doing that, Lord, bring them and get a hold of them and save them. Amen. Because what works together? This is the last part of it, but I don't have time to get to it, and that's okay. Repentance and faith work together. Because when I truly decide to repent, it's going to cause me to turn towards, right? And faith is turning towards. When I repent, I turn away. When I show that I have faith, I'm turning towards. So faith and repentance work hand in hand. with each other. Probably if a man is going to be brave enough to repent, he's going to be courageous enough to have faith. Amen. It is 10:44. All right. So I'm going to pray. And we'll be dismissed for Sunday school. That way everybody can fellowship, use the restrooms, prepare for the service. Amen. Father, we love you. Lord, we thank you for a good morning thus far. And thank you, Lord, for the day that, God, you allowed me to acknowledge, allowed me to repent, and allowed me to have faith and turn towards a Savior. And God, I thank you, Lord, for everyone here this morning, to their ears, that they were able, that they listened to a practical truth that they probably all already know. And God, I pray this morning, I don't know who's going to walk through those doors, Lord, this morning on a Sunday morning, but you do. And God, we pray that if anybody walks in, Lord, that you would allow them, if they're not saved, to acknowledge their sin, repent of it, and turn towards Christ, and we'll give you glory. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen.